I just, you know, I feel like this is a day like the day of the Lord. This is a cataclysmic day. It's a day for change. It's a day where our whole world could be turned upside down. Eruptions and change that leaves us in a different place than where we began the day. I wonder if you can grasp hold of that by faith and say, I know I've lived so many days, I've seen a day go by and another day, and they all look the same. But this is a new day. And there could be things that happen today that will change your life forever and ever. And I hope that you can rise to that. Somebody once said that Jesus never preached longer than 15 minutes. I don't know how they knew. Maybe they were there. But my life ambition is to be like Jesus, to follow him. And 15 minutes goes to now and half past. That clock gets stretched that much. I want to just share briefly this morning about the kingdom of God, which is most certainly the most powerful message there ever was. It is, I hope you'll see why before we're finished. I want to share about the kingdom of God and steps of simple obedience, or simple steps of obedience, or simple steps of simple obedience, or complicated ways to say that Jesus makes it easy. And he does. For those who are humble in heart and willing to yield, Jesus makes it easy. He makes the impossible things easy. I'd love to take my socks off and show you my feet, because today I have beautiful feet. It says in Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of those who come with good news, who proclaim peace and announce glad tidings of a new kingdom coming. And that's what I'm coming to announce this morning. Okay, I want to start just by asking a question which is pertinent to this morning, and it's this: why do we baptize? Or why do we get ourselves baptized? Because that is how it's framed in the Bible in Acts chapter 22. Paul has made a journey to Damascus, which is where our good friend Peter is right now. I spoke to him on Skype last night, Peter Broomfield. In fact, I didn't speak to him because my microphone wasn't working. But I saw him, and he waved to me from the internet cafe just along from Ananias' house. And Paul was there on Straight Street, and Ananias was sent to him to bring him into the kingdom. And Ananias said this to Paul. He said, "And now what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized." Literally, it's get yourself baptized. It's a very reflexive, active word. It means do something about it. Get yourself baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So I want to ask, why is it that we get ourselves baptized, or why do we baptize? And the answer is very, very simple. There are many different answers, but the answer I'm giving you this morning is quite simple, and it's this: that Jesus said so. There are three commands of Jesus that we hold high. There are many commands of Jesus, and all of them are good, but three that we hold high as guiding lights in our lives. The first one is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The next one is, love your neighbor as yourself. And the third one is, go into all the world and make disciples. And Jesus commissioned his 11 apostles, representing his church, as it would grow and fill the earth. And he said this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I hope we'll come back to that in a moment. All authority is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In Mark, at the end of Mark, there's a similar injunction from Jesus, and it says this: he said to them, go into all the world and preach. That is such a bad word for us. Preach sounds really like you wear weird black clothes that look a bit like Dracula, and you stand 5 feet above contradiction and you pound out this a condemning word. That is not what this is about. It's a proclamation. It's an announcement. It's a heralding. It's running into town and saying, "Have you heard the news?" And that's what Jesus commissioned his disciples to do. He said, "Go into all the world and proclaim, herald, announce the good news to all of creation." Well, what is the good news? He said, well, you know, everyone knows that, except not everyone does know. It's one of those words that we all get a bit confused by, but then ask. Gospel is how it's sometimes translated. That's just an old English word that means good news. But what is the good news? Well, Jesus said the good news is the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus said the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom, will be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And so we're baptizing this morning, and we're getting ourselves baptized, Adam, because Jesus said so. And that is enough. Or is it enough? Is that enough? That Jesus said so, and so I'll do it. Surely there are other factors involved. Surely there are contemporary issues that perhaps Jesus never thought about. Surely there are pressures, social considerations, family tensions, all kinds of things that maybe bear in upon this. Surely we need further explanation. Surely we need more understanding. You can't just go and do these things. You have to explore and understand and question. Augustine said, "I do in order that I may understand." And sometimes it's in the very doing, the simple step of obedience, that understanding begins to dawn. And so I want to look at a couple of simple steps of obedience, and we'll start with the donkey episode. Okay? This was part of my reading this week. I've launched out at the beginning of the year, along with my family. We have started on a journey together to read the Bible in a year. And the cool thing is that when we sit down at the table and say, "Guess what I read?" Then the other person says, "Yeah, I read that too. Or I'm going to read that tomorrow. Or I read that yesterday." And it makes for great table conversation. I am now 9.9% of the way through, according to my clever phone. And it should know. You can write notes in this thing, and apparently they sneak into Facebook if you're not careful. So Colin read one of my private notes that I wrote to myself this morning. I don't know how it got onto Facebook, but there it is. So in my daily reading this week, I was in Matthew 21, and I read this. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." What? You must be, you know, isn't that theft? Okay, Jesus, let's rerun this. Sit down, have a drink, calm yourself down, and tell me, what do you want us to do again? I mean, where is it? Which town do you mean? This one, that one? There's a few towns along the way. Is it going to be on the left side or the right side? Is it going to be hidden away? How do I know he's still there? Maybe he's gone off. Maybe he's gone looking for grass. Maybe his owner's there. Maybe his owner's big and fat and ugly. There's all kinds of reasons why this is not a good idea. There's all kinds of reasons why I need more explanation, more reassurances, more understanding, and basically don't want to do it. Ever felt like that? Well, the disciples apparently didn't. In fact, I think one of the reasons Jesus picked them is because they were slightly, what's the word? Simple. Academically substandard. Jesus picked them. He liked them that way. He said, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the dim. Blessed are those who don't ask too many questions, but just get on and do it." And maybe in the doing, understanding and revelation will come. And so this gorgeous, beautiful verse 6 of Matthew 21, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Has anyone got ears to hear? Because I'm hearing that. So funny. I love the disciples. They always mess it up. But in this case, they were doing what Jesus said. Not very clever, but they did what he said. It reminds me of Naaman and a song about Naaman. In the Old Testament, it says, Naaman, Naaman, do what he said. Don't go off in a huff or sulk at home in bed. You'd have done it if he told you something hard instead. So Naaman, Naaman, just use your head. Naaman, Naaman, do what he said. Do what? Who said? Elisha told him to go and wash in the river. Naaman says, we've got better rivers at home. Why should I wash in your mucky old river? Do what he said. And so he went, he did what he was told, and he came out nice and clean. And his leprosy was nowhere to be seen. That was a wee extra, but I'm still in good time. The king... We'll move on from Matthew 21, moving on further into the chapter. And we read about the children in the temple episode. A few verses later, Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey, on the donkey. The donkey that almost bit Peter, but he got away with it. And Jesus got his donkey and he rode into Jerusalem, humble. And yet also regal, because the donkey was the mount of a king. And he rode into Jerusalem and they welcomed him as if he was God's Messiah. As if he was some kind of Messiah figure coming to take over. They were thrilled and excited. And it says, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did and the children shouting in the temple area. Don't you just hate when the children shout in the temple area? Hosanna to the Son of David! Or probably, Hosanna to the Son of David! They were indignant. Who was indignant? The children? No. The chief priests and the teachers of the law, because they knew better. They'd studied it. They must have known better. Hosanna to the Son of David. Chief priests, the teachers of the law were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? Oh, okay, we're well up to that. So the children are shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Did they understand what they were shouting? No. Do you know what Hosanna means? No. No, the answer is no, Colin. No. Do you? Apart from Colin? No. But we've sung it, haven't we? Jesus was happy. He was happy that they were celebrating him with great hosannas. Hosanna. 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 Hosh comes from the same as Yehosh, Yehoshua. The Shua, Hoshua of Yeh. It's the salvation of Yahweh. Yehoshua. So Hoshua is salvation. It means come rescue, come redeem, come deliver, come get us out of this mess. And the Na, I really like that. It means come on, do it now. Yes, please. That kind of thing. Na. It's just a small word, but it's got a lot in it. Hoshana, come and save us, come and redeem us, rescue us, take over. Take charge. Was Jesus pleased? Yes. Were the teacher of the law pleased? No. Were they a pain in the neck? Yes. They were a load of muppets? Yes. Always demanding, never doing. Always questioning, never practicing. I read this morning on my phone Bible. Jesus said, they sit in the seat of Moses, so you must do what you must do. Everything that they say, you must. But don't do what they do, because they're a load of hypocrites. They say a lot and they do nothing. Now, please, let us not be any of those. God, please, for me. I don't want to be one of those. I want to be a Dumbo that does it and finds out later whether it was okay or not. Are you with me? Let's put our hands in the air if you're with me. Okay, that's a good half. I'm so glad. Let's say we've just got the majority there. Why don't we all shout out Hosanna? One, two, three. And again. Now I really mean it. Yes! I'm sure he will answer that prayer. So the good news is the good news of the kingdom of God. This is the message that John announced when he came. John the Baptist, who we heard of earlier. This is the message that Jesus proclaimed. In fact, it's the message that Jesus seemed to never get off. Can you imagine following this preacher around and for 3 years he's got the same message? What are we going to hear this morning? It's the kingdom of God. So what's the story about this morning? Kingdom of God. Telling parables. What's that about? The kingdom of God. It's always the kingdom of God. That was Jesus' message. And he really blew his opportunity after the post-resurrection. 40 days he had to disciple and to inculcate into his disciples his message. What did he speak about? The kingdom of God. In fact, it seemed to be his only theme. It's the message that Jesus proclaimed, that John announced, and it's the message that the disciples were sent out by Jesus to herald. What does it mean? Well, probably something ethereal and unreal and unworldly, because that's where we put those sort of things. Kingdom of God, up there in the clouds. It's nothing to do with real, earthy, taking over nations. Well, isn't it? I wonder. The announcement, the good news of the kingdom of God is an announcement that a new king has come, a new ruler, a new regime. N.T. Wright, who we all revere, he was a bishop, now he's writing books, says this: the gospel is the proclamation that Jesus, the crucified and risen Messiah, is the one true and only Lord of the world. Jesus is Lord is a political statement. If you were in Egypt today and you stood up and you said, I am the next leader of Egypt, then there would be repercussions. Do you follow me? And Jesus, when people stood up and said, Jesus is Lord, it carried similar repercussions. When Augustus, who was the emperor, the first emperor, and the emperor at the time of Jesus' birth, when he was ascending to his position of rule, people would announce the good news. There's an inscription found from 9 BC, which I will read you another time. But it says, this is the good news that Providence has given us a new Savior, one who will bring light and life into our world. And so when others stood up and said, no, Jesus is Lord, that was a political statement. Kingdom means rule. Kingdom means authority. The rule of Jesus has begun. The coronation has already taken place. He's already been crowned and given all authority. That's what he said. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, why are you not exercising it, Jesus? One of the most incredible displays of the patience and goodness of God is that he is not yet forcing his rule upon us, but he is longing and desiring that it would be received freely by each one of us. There will be a day when there's no longer opportunity and our choices will be cemented. But today is the day where the king who has already been crowned ruler of the world is wooing you. He's not only wooing you, he's bending down. He is yielding his own blood, life, to demonstrate that he is not a lording over king, but he is coming as a shepherd of your soul to lift you up and to do you good. The coronation has already taken place. He has been crowned, not with gold, but with thorns. And he has been given a title, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I-N-R-I, which you often see, is Latin. It stands for Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, who will rule out of Jerusalem over all of the nations of the world. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. He has appeared once, not as a despot, not lording it over, but humble, coming to serve, to empty himself for his people. He is good. And now, in this day, we can choose whether to receive that rule or to reject it. We have been given that choice. We've been given freedom. Not every country in the world are you given freedom to choose your government.
But in the one that's coming from heaven to earth, there is choice in this day. Whether or not to gladly receive his rule, one day our choices will be cemented. But today we have the choice. What we will witness today, 6 feet below where I'm standing, is a change of allegiance. When they say, Jesus is not just my Lord, Jesus is Lord, they are proclaiming, I have stepped out of one kingdom and transferred my allegiance into a new one under a king who rules the world. He is Lord. This is an announcement of a new government. We are baptizing into regime change, subjects of an old kingdom transferring into a new. The kingdom of God and his Messiah is increasing before our very eyes this morning by simple step of obedience, making Jesus Lord. Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God, and we are invited to enter his kingdom, willingly yield to his rules by simple acts of faith and obedience. That is my invitation to you this morning, and I stand on behalf of heaven in doing it. God bless you. Amen.